Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Tuesday, May 10, 2022. Health officials in South Sudan declare outbreak of cholera in Unity State.
31 cases, including one death, have been reported from Rukwana Town and Bantiu IDP Camp. We got information of the initial case on 14th of April.
And the United Nations says it has secured $19 million to help flood victims in South Sudan.
This funding is critical because at this time in South Sudan, we have 8.9 million people who we have projected will be in need this year. We can only work towards 6.8 million people being reached with services.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Officials at South Sudan's National Health Ministry have declared a cholera outbreak in Rupkona County of Unity State. The ministry's head of preventive health services says more cases have been confirmed in the area, including one dead. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Director General of Preventive Health Services at the Ministry, Dr. John Pasquale Rumonu, says the cholera cases were confirmed following tests conducted by the National Public Health Laboratory in Juba. He says the one confirmed death was a 7-year-old child. The first confirmed case was a 29-month-old child who tested positive in March at the Bantiu IDP camp in Rupkona County, said the ministry in a statement. Dr. Rumonu says children aged 1 month to 4 years accounted for 45.2% of the confirmed cases.
31 cases, including one death, have been reported from Rupkona Town and Bantiu IDP camp. We got information of the initial case on 14th of April. Immediately, the Ministry of Health, with support from its partners, deployed a rapid response team to investigate the causes and support the state-level response.
The ministry statement says the cases presented with watery diarrhea, vomiting, and dehydration. The health ministry and its partners are checking on households in Rupkona and the IDP camp to identify additional cholera cases following a steady rise in acute watery diarrhea cases reported in the Bantiu town and the camp. Dr. Rumonu says flooding and inadequate hygiene coupled with the overcrowding in parts of Unity State have led to the cholera outbreak. He says the situation worsens with the peak of the rainfalls, which start from May and goes up to October.
For the last couple of years, as you also know, the country has experienced devastating floods, affecting over 1 million people, and Unity State is one of the affected areas. And in Unity State in particular, as you know, as a result of the flooding, people resort to move to highland. And the highland became overcrowded and with lack of proper safe drinking water and with poor personal hygiene, inadequate access to improved sanitation facilities and so on. These are all risk factors which leads to waterborne diseases like cholera.
Dr. Rumonu says the health ministry has mapped out 20 areas across the country, including the capital Juba and Jonglei, Upper Nile and Unity States, as hotspots where the government is taking measures to prevent the spread of the disease. He says the ministry has advised the general public to maintain a healthy environment at home and in public places and to safely dispose of liquid and solid waste.
We advise people to drink and use water that has been made safe, like after treating with chlorine, or if boiling, bring water to complete boil for at least 1 minute. And also hand washing practice with soap and water after using latrine before handling and eating food is very, very important. Use of latrines or burying feces and also not defecating in any water body is advised.
Dr. Rumunu also advises people to fully cook their food, keep it covered and eat it hot. Healthy experts say cholera is caused as a result of people drinking water or eating food that has been contaminated with a type of bacteria called Vibrio cholera. The Ministry of Health urges the public to report all suspected cholera cases to the National Outbreak Hotline 6666 or the nearest health facility, County Health Department or State Ministry of Health. This is the latest cholera outbreak reported in South Sudan since a devastating one in 2017 that affected more than 28,000 people. 644 people died from cholera that year. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The United Nations has donated $19 million to help families in South Sudan prepare for severe flooding during the rainy season. South Sudan is projected to suffer a fourth consecutive year of extreme flooding. UN officials in South Sudan say the funding will go to UN agencies and non-governmental organizations offering services in Bantu Camp for internally displaced persons and surrounding areas of Unity State. Dengai Deng has this report for VOA from Juba.
The UN Humanitarian Coordinator for South Sudan, Sara Beisalo Nyanti, says the funding comes at a time when the country's humanitarian sector urgently needs support. Nyanti says $15 million of the Central Emergency Response Fund will support people protecting their homes and key infrastructure like latrines and water wells from flood water.
This funding is critical because at this time in South Sudan, we have 8.9 million people who we have projected will be in need this year. We can only work towards 6.8 million people being reached with services. And for us to do that, it will require $1.7 billion United States dollars. Right now, we're only 9% funded. This $19 million is a drop in the bucket compared to what's required, but it's important because this $19 million will help us to prevent further humanitarian crises.
Nyanti says some $14 million of the funds will enable NGOs and UN agencies to reinforce dikes around vital access roads, displaced people's homes, the airstrip, and other infrastructure.
These preparedness and preventive measures are critical, and they go beyond humanitarian response. It's inclusive of infrastructural support, and it's inclusive of responses that are more on the development side. And this is important for us to be aware of. The situation in South Sudan is critical.
The UN says as the heavy rains are starting again in South Sudan, large swaths of land in flood-affected areas are still underwater from the last rainy season. With upstream water levels still high, even limited rains could flood farmland, wash away shelters, and exacerbate waterborne diseases, according to analysis by the Center for Humanitarian Data. Nyanti says the desperate humanitarian situation in South Sudan requires the government's intervention.
Peace is needed. We need peace so that the humanitarian needs will not continue to increase. We need peace so that people can return to their homes and be able to take care of themselves. As the women in Malakal told me, they want to go to their homes so that they can take care of themselves. They don't want handouts, but they cannot go home unless they have peace. We need peace so that children can grow up and go to school and they can be able to serve as that future of the country.
Flooding could put more than 320,000 people in Unity State, over a third of whom are already displaced, at risk of further displacement, disease outbreaks and food insecurity, said Nyanti. In 2021, the people of South Sudan had to cope with flood, soaring inflation, and unprecedented flooding, which severely impacted the most vulnerable, particularly women, children, and the elderly, said the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
Education officials in Sudan's West Darfur state say they worry about the future of school operations. Schools have remained closed and some are occupied by internal displaced persons since last month's deadly intercommunal violence in the area. The head of education in Kirinik says schools were looted or burned down during the conflict. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
Abdul Karim Adam runs the education department in Kirinik locality. Adam says at least 23 school children and 6 teachers were killed in the intercommunal fighting. He says 23 other students were injured. Adam tells South Sudan in Focus via phone from Kirinik town that 4 of the 9 schools in the area are occupied by internally displaced persons. Thousands were displaced during the fighting. He says one school located outside the town was looted and remains empty because students and teachers are afraid to go back due to insecurity. Adam says 3 primary schools and 2 secondary schools have reopened this week, but classes are extremely overcrowded with the influx of pupils from other schools.
Each classroom is now occupied by 200 to 300 people. We have 3 schools that are now occupied by the IDPs. We have some schools that are located outside the town, and people are afraid of going out there due to insecurity. Our situation is really miserable these days.
The violence between Arabs and non-Arabs erupted in Kirinik on April 24th and quickly spread to the state capital, Al Janina. At least 196 people were killed, according to the Central Committee of Sudanese Doctors. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Sudan estimates somewhere between 85,000 and 115,000 people were displaced due to the violence. Adam says nearly 1,500 grade 6 and grade 8 students in Kirinik are expected to take the national general examinations on May 16th and 28th. Adam says the students need support in order to take these exams.
Most pupils and students are frustrated and have given up. In this situation, you cannot expect good performance in school. Teachers' performance has been impacted. Some of them lost family members, have had their houses burned or property looted. This will definitely affect their performance.
Adam is calling on humanitarian agencies to provide educational supplies so that students can finish this academic year, but he says the biggest challenge remains rampant insecurity in the area.
We have called on the humanitarian organizations to support the situation with tents or plastic sheets, but our main concern is about the safety and security of our people. We are not safe. Some of us no longer trust the army because we believe they are supporting the criminals that keep on attacking civilians.
Last week, UN OCHA said the humanitarian situation in Kirinik remained a major concern due to insecurity, disruption of basic services, and destruction of property. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Rwandan government arrest a beauty pageant. Find out why.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
Where do you get your health advice from?
Sometimes I get my health advice from my grandmother who is at home. When I'm sick that I can't control myself, she'll help.
I get my health advice from my friend, colleague, who live together with those who know about, those who have been experienced more problems about health. They don't advise me through phone. We talk, we chat, discuss everything.
My dad, because my dad is a doctor.
I'd say I get my health advice from various places, the internet, my parents, because I have, my mother is a nurse.
My health advice, I get it on the internet. If I need something on how to deal with obesity, I get it on the internet. Anything I need pertaining to health advice is on the internet.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. On Monday, the Rwandan Investigation Bureau arrested Miss Rwanda 2017, Elsa Iradukunda, on several charges including obstruction of justice and forgery. Following the arrest, the Rwandan government suspended the body in charge of organizing Tejen over sexual harassment scandal that has been in the news for more than 3 weeks. Eugene Wimana has more from the Rwandan capital, Kigali.
The Rwanda Investigation Bureau, or RIB, broke the news of arresting Miss Rwanda 2017 in Monday afternoon. This follows the arrest of the organizer of the beauty pageant and director of Rwanda Inspiration Backup, Ishimwe Dieudonne, a suspect in sexual harassment cases against contestants. RIB says Miss Iradukunda obstructed justice while urging harassed contestants not to cooperate with investigators. The Bureau says she also forged or revised the statements of those who had already filed complaints. Christine Mkandakezi, the mother of Miss Iradukunda, was in tears as she explains how the family found out their daughter was arrested. She said that Elisa called the family Sunday after church and said the Rwanda Investigation Bureau had summoned her. After that, the family kept on calling her, but in vain. Mrs. Mkandakezi later came to the station, and close to midnight, she was told that her daughter will remain in custody. She says her daughter is innocent and that she's appealing to Rwanda's First Lady to help her. While addressing the Congress of the ruling party Rwanda Patriotic Front recently, Rwandan President Paul Kagame commented on the ongoing sexual harassment scandal. He said that apart from assaulting contestants, the organizer of Miss Rwanda contest also trafficked them. He said sexual corruption should stop.
Mugore doesn't owe you anything. If anything, you owe each other. The first thing is you owe each other respect. You owe each other this right.
After the scandal, the Minister of Culture announced the suspension of the beauty pageant until the investigation is concluded. The show's organizer, Ishimwe Dieudonne, alias Prince Kid, was arrested on April 26, and his dossier has been handed to national authorities for prosecution. Eugene Wimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Over 14 million people in Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia are in dire need of humanitarian assistance due to drought that is causing devastation in those countries. According to International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, at least 5.5 million children are facing acute malnutrition. Maureen Odhiambo reports.
At least 6.1 million people in Ethiopia, 4.1 million people in Somalia, and 3.5 million people in Kenya are facing climatic-induced and prolonged humanitarian crisis. In Kenya, the eastern and northern parts, which are entirely arid and semi-arid areas, are experiencing critical drought conditions, with some counties like Marsabit having not experienced rain in the past 2 years. Speaking virtually after his three-day visit to the affected counties, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Cross Crescent Society's Secretary General Jagan Chapagain said that the affected areas have not been given the required attention.
But I think globally, one of the major challenges has been is to get sufficient attention on this drought crisis. But of course, when we look here, the some of the statistics say that around 20 million people are needing food assistance just in Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia. Just three countries, that's 20 million. Some help is coming, but clearly not enough.
In response to the hunger and drought situation in Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia, the International Federation of Red Cross, the Kenya Red Cross, Ethiopia Red Cross, and Somali Red Cross are jointly appealing for $39 million. Chapagain says there is need for immediate assistance.
So there's clearly a need to bring immediate assistance on food, nutrition, health, and water. What we also saw was, of course, the drought has also killed many, many animals. You know, there are families who have lost 1,000 animals, meaning that suddenly their life has turned upside down.
With Marsabit County in Kenya being the most affected and people losing over 70% of their livestock, which is their main source of livelihood, Red Cross Kenya says it will take long for the people to recover from the impacts of drought. The Secretary General of the Kenya Red Cross Society, Asha Mohammed, says more than 250,000 people are affected in Marsabit County alone.
For Marsabit alone, it's about 270,000 people. Of course, the others is now Garissa, Wajir, Mandera, and Turkana, because this is really one of the epicenters if you just remove Marsabit and Turkana.
Mohammed says malnutrition and other diseases are also affecting children under the age of 5.
Clearly, there has been an increase in the number of children that are getting malnourished, but there were also reported cases of diarrhea. Water that is not safe is a big problem. There was also an increase in pneumonia, especially among the children. You can see it's mainly children that are quite impacted.
Despite cash assistance, food, and improved water treatment practices, there is an urgent need to rehabilitate water systems. Marsabit County Disaster Management Director Jeremy Ledani says there are still many people that he worries might die of starvation if the government does not intervene.
Despite all these interventions, like social protection programs, buying of relief food by the government, giving cash to vulnerable households, we still have a huge population in dire need of food aid who wish, if nothing is going to be done about it, will end up dying out of starvation.
There are warnings that the number of affected people could rise to 20 million by the middle of this year. If the rains continue to fail, prices rise further and without significant funds for those in crisis. In Somalia alone, over 500,000 people have already fled their homes in search of food and water since the beginning of 2022. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Odhiambo in Sacramento, California.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now end the show with CJ Oman and the song Harami.
What's up? Family. Oh, 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 yeah. What? South Sudan, yeah, yeah.
Nothing about me. I don't give a none. It's my right to tell you this, and it's my right to tell you the truth. And if you hate me, kill me. It's my destiny to die for the youth.
Mama katulu sangana maya dehadegi serebu. Baba katulu san boda dehadegi serebu. Sister juru minu oshanta dehadegi serebu. Kulu zol giseregu uindu sabab chow. Kulu zol gishakilu uindu sabab chow. Kulu zol.
We have been listening to CJ Oman and the song Harami. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kelina hafizuri yeteyo.